Welcome to the Promise Brand Podcast, where if you are trying to figure out something to do with your content, your social, your brand, you're trying to better understand how to communicate your organization, these are the conversations for you. Hey, I'm your host, Luke Frazier, founder of Parable Brand, where we're on a mission to tell brand stories that don't suck so that entrepreneurs like you can build companies people care about. Now listen, I am sure that you have something within your company. Maybe you're a CMO or an entrepreneur or strategist within a company, but you believe in your product and offering, and you even more so believe in caring for your team and for the people that you serve. Brand and strategy can help support and influence that, and that is why we are here to serve and exist in this world. I'm excited because we have had a handful of conversations on this podcast talking about what's going on in culture, what's happening with different entrepreneurs. But today we get to sit down with VP of Social Media at Motion Agency, Mr. Zach Walker. He's also an entrepreneur, a speaker, creative, and just a always learning marketer. This guy is one of the most humble learners I know, and he's very well versed in the world of marketing, the world of social influencers, and helping people really strategize and communicate their brands in areas where maybe you wouldn't think fit. Different industries that he's been involved in and taken care of, and you'll hear about that here on this episode today. But there's a lot of great insights here that you can take from a strategy perspective and just from a tactical social perspective as well. So without any further ado, my friends, I introduce to you Mr. Zach Walker. All right, Mr. Zachary Walker, welcome to the show. So grateful to have you. I found you actually editing someone else's podcast and reached out and we hit it off. You are really big in the marketing creative world, VP social media and Motion. You're doing amazing things. I asked you sort of jokingly before we started the show, is that a made-up title, or did Motion already have that in place? And you surely corrected me.
No,
Motion is ahead of the game when it comes to social. I want to start kind of here, diving right in. How did you get into the social game, and how did you get up to, like, how the heck is there a VP of social? You know, social is what, only 15, 20 years old, and we're already kind of in this level of people taking over the world of social. So how did you get into it, and what is Motion sort of doing differently in the world when it comes to social right now?
Well, Luke, thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to be here. You know, I think what's really exciting is when I started my professional career, I started as a digital marketer. Mm-hmm. I did everything under the marketing umbrella. You know, I did email marketing, I wrote blogs, I did social media, you know, content. I was in WordPress on the back end, building those pages out, and realized that I truly enjoyed marketing. I liked communicating to essentially my target audience, and other thought leaders and subject matter experts. And I was actually looking for a new opportunity, and everybody I talked to at the time, and these were all entrepreneurs and founders, so it's probably why they gave me the same answer over and over again, but they said, whatever you do, do not get into the advertising industry. It's terrible. All those things you hear about it, on and on and on, and call me a stubborn recent college grad, but that's where I ended up. And I did, I started a junior social media role, basically what would be a community manager, engaging with folks on the channels. So if you're following your favorite brand or you know, business, and they're the ones like commenting, that's usually that type of role.
Yeah.
And throughout my career, it's just as social media as a marketing tool has evolved, I think the need for specialized marketers only became more apparent. Just like there are CRM experts, just like there are paid SEO experts, just like there's production folks, you name it. And so I think as the space continues to evolve, the need for seasoned experience, but also specialized professionals is becoming more apparent. And you know, I think what's really exciting about this space, and to your point about like, how do we get here, is I love to see that like well-known CMOs, like CMOs at major companies that are on the stock exchange, they started in social. Some of them are social media professionals that slowly grew out their skills and now are CMOs at big companies. And that excites me, because I think as a profession, there's so many things that go beyond just tweeting, liking, engaging content. There's strategy, there's content creation, there's production, there's you know, account management. There's so many different aspects of the business you learn. And it excites me that there's an opportunity for hopefully the same path. And I think that's why Motion recognizes that need, because their clients as a whole have that need. They don't need somebody just posting daily. They have somebody internally. They need somebody that can think about the big picture at that 30,000 foot view.
You know, so you, what's interesting to me is you've also sort of had a career in entrepreneurship, and you've really just been a creative wherever you've gone, which is such a blanket term nowadays, and people love it or hate it. But when, you know, I think about someone like you and some of the conversations we've had, and I've seen you have, you also do plenty of speaking, you sort of peg me as somebody very much influenced by and influencing culture, right? There's stuff going on in the world. You've done a lot of work in food. You've done some work in industrial. You've done work in cannabis and a handful of other areas. And as you sort of look at these industries, because the reality here is that you've done work in cross industries, like not even parallel, absolutely perpendicular cross way of what people do. And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, how have you seen social evolve into maybe industries where people don't think it's relevant?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think you hit on a great industry, the industrial side. You know, we have at our agency, we call it durable goods, you know, things that require skilled hands, a deep technical knowledge of how products work. There is a huge investment in social media in that space. You know, for one of our clients, we're building out an entire new LinkedIn approach for their entire global organization, where we're talking about, how do you show up as a global organization so that no matter where somebody finds you on the internet, there is a consistent branding, there's a consistent message. And so I think now more and more businesses recognize that at the very least you should have a presence. And if you want to stand out, just like any other opportunity, you have to put resources against it and hopefully grow it. So it's been exciting to see that. I think it has also evolved from, you know, I always used to joke, it's like, oh, you know, my grandson knows Instagram, so he'll run our business in the social channel. Like, we're past that point now. Like, thankfully, everyone has become, well, I don't know if we're fully past it, but I guess you're right. Yeah.
There is a reality here, especially, I think, when you talk industrial or durable goods businesses at the small scale, you know, maybe they're only $1 million or $5 million a year. A lot of those businesses today either have the same approach or don't care. So it is interesting. But you're right. On sort of this larger scale, you guys are pushing things forward.
And you're absolutely correct. The space is not fully evolved there. You know, I think it's, I hear more good stories of that happening than bad ones. And maybe that's because I'm trying to avoid those.
We're the delusional optimists.
Exactly. But no, it's true. You know, it's one of our clients. I'm actually going on a shoot coming up. We had a pre-pro call and they were basically like, oh, we've got somebody internally that like loves to be in front of the camera. Like he is a TikToker, like he is comfortable being in front. And like 5 years ago, that didn't exist. Like there wasn't, I had to be that person. There's plenty of examples of me being talent and shoot. So it's great to see that shift.
Nice.
But yeah, it's not everybody, but if you put the effort into it, it's a really great way to stand out and to better communicate your brand.
And I do want to talk to this. When it comes to brand, you know, I'm always thinking, obviously, brand continuity, brand strategy, brand culture. How are we connecting these things? How is a consumer potentially interacting with your brand from, you know, some kind of social platform or a customer call, sales, etc.? Like, what's the continuity, what's the thread in that, where are we missing the gap? And I'm curious, as sort of the influencer regime has kind of grown, especially into B2B brands and these industrial brands and a handful of others, right? It's not just like CPG, it's not just direct to consumer anymore. We're seeing those kinds of brands that seem a little bit more insular and we only know our stuff now breaking into those games. Sort of basically what I want to see, because you're in that world more so than I am, from the influencer game, what are some of those myths for B2B people? And then how have you and your agency, and even in your own sort of creative endeavors, how have you guys really really debunked those myths when it comes to influencer marketing?
It is a continuous work in progress. Like anything, there's two steps forward. Yes, I think that's a big one, but I think it's also great to be able to show real life examples. And so I think, you know, when you're talking about the B2B space, you're right, there aren't as many, I'll say, everyday influencers that are, you know, talking about you know, HVAC solutions for your home, right? But what is unique and an interesting opportunity for some of our clients is, you know, for example, there may be an HVAC technician that, you know, happens to be famous on TikTok.
Right.
And so there's an opportunity if your brand or your industry has those weird synergies where somebody has maybe a 9-to-5, but they're also social media famous, like that's where you go, oh, there is an actual opportunity. But it is a ever evolving opportunity. I think we'd love to do more influencer marketing in the B2B space. I think it's just in that same boat. The pool of opportunities is not as big when you think about, to your point, traditional CPG brand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's think about it kind of practically. Like, we have a C-suite executive who's been in, been in their industry game for, you know, 40 or 50 years maybe. And like, this is reality. Maybe it's a family legacy kind of business. They've grown it, you know, maybe they're upwards of 500 million a year, 300 million a year, doing well. And they're just kind of on social media because, you know, that's what someone, maybe their grandson or nephew, like, said, you got to be on here. How do companies, because also what I'm thinking about here in this question is that companies have gotten on social, or maybe they've even got an influencer, and they're just trying to sell their product, their service, which sucks, because we're again past the age within social media of being able to just sell blatantly, right? Sell directly. Like, that we're just, we are past that. We have a younger generation who sees right through it. They're brilliant at it. And so obviously we're picking social, we're skipping a step here. We're picking social because there's attention there. But how do we talk to those executives and maybe pitch them, but also just like show, to your point earlier, you know, am I trying to run like a Tim Allen tool time here? Or do I need like Charlie D'Amelio to come like dance on, like, with my prod? Like how do we shift our perspective as people who've been in the game long enough and are like, yeah, this is cool, I get it for you guys. How can we begin to shift perspective on strategy that better constitutes the how we really exude our brand?
I did a little bit of research on your website earlier and just doing some of your reading. And, you know, I love your thoughts on branding, because this is it, right? I think for us, especially at the Motion Agency, we view social media as an opportunity to talk to your entire audience. And what I mean by that is your employees, your stakeholders, prospective employees, obviously customers. And so, you know, I think when you're talking about that C-suite executive or somebody that's leading the charge and saying, hey, we should just be selling, you know, hey, we should be communicating. And so, you know, I love that opportunity to go, this is not just to sell. You have to think, at the Motion Agency, we say, think with an audience first mentality. So create content that your audience is going to resonate with, because if they're having a positive experience engaging with your content, whether that's like subject matter expert related content or thought pieces by, you know, leadership, if they're having a positive experience hearing from you, that's going to have a bigger impact than just seeing what your product or what your service can bring to the table.
Wow. Powerful. You are preaching to the choir and you're getting me excited. I talk a lot about branding for culture, meaning to what we were sort of, I asked you about earlier, like culture influences us. It's happening all day long, right? There's food that's changing in the environment. There are the markets changing economically. Housing is changing. Like everything is adjusting. And for us as brands, if we're not making adjustments in that, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it along the way. And I, part of me, as you're talking about this, like I want to challenge the narrative a little bit outside of brand or even inside of brand. How would you maybe redefine how people look at marketing nowadays, or even just redefine marketing in general? Because I think if everyone thinks, if you know, some of these younger generations maybe think about it, and it's like, well, it's like, you know, Mad Men were smoking cigarettes and like in a boardroom and then have some crazy, you know, idea and blah, 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 blah. How would you challenge the narrative and redefine marketing in today's day and age?
Okay, so how do I redefine marketing? And, you know, I think the narrative, unfortunately, is that marketing is more of an afterthought. I'll expand it out of social. I think marketers get a really tough time. You know, one, it's usually the first to go when budgets are tight. You know, the marketing budget goes away, and then even more so, you have that pressure of trying to deliver. But I think, for me, I like to think of marketing as an opportunity to help a business achieve their goals. Mm. Now, doesn't mean that we shouldn't say, hey, we can't sell your product via social or via digital marketing.
Yeah.
But it's just saying, hey, recognizing, especially in the B2B space where you have these long life cycles, you know, it's very hard to say, hey, I talked to this customer 8 months ago because they engaged with our content or subscribed to our newsletter, and then a year later, they're a different organization, but they buy our product. It's hard to connect those dots. So for me, it's trying to showcase the value of what marketing can bring to an organization, whether they have a full marketing team or just one person in the back trying to do it all.
Grinding.
Yes.
That is so funny to me. We've pitched a couple clients. You know, we do some sort of front-facing marketing work in the podcast development and content creation, but really a lot of our core offering is in brand strategy, which is a lot more in-depth, kind of high-level, like C-suite stuff, and then how does that bleed into the culture of the company, and how can we hire better, et cetera. But I've talked with a handful of CEOs, some smaller companies, you know, 10, 20 person, couple million, and run into this issue of, well, that's cool that you have brand and all of that, but we'll hire like a marketing manager to run everything. And I think about that, and like, people are so delusioned by this idea that you can have a one-man marketing team, and I've seen it in like smaller companies, but as you grow and you're trying to hit larger, like grow your attention, hit larger conversations, like we have to look at it differently, because that one person, like they're going to grind their face off, but you don't realize like the back end website stuff they have to do, the social stuff they have to do, the email, the stuff they have to do, the lead, the ad, the pay, like all of it. And so I'm curious for you, because you guys do work at an agency, and you guys are like the marketing support when it comes to different, you know, companies. What is just sort of your take on the world of marketing right now, and companies who want to start off in marketing, but like they're just like, oh, we'll just hire one person and they're going to run our brand, which is like, maybe talk to that first. Like what would you be missing if you were to do that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's that slippery slope between saying, hey, marketing is an extension of our brand, but then not allocating enough resources to make sure that it's being done effectively, but also having an impact. So, you know, I think you've touched on it too, in your writing it from a culture standpoint, that's all the way from the top, all the way down to the bottom. Yeah. You know, if you have one person that you expect will communicate your entire organization's culture through their 9-to-5, it's just not realistic. And I empathize with those people.
And not support them. Like the top down support. Yeah.
Yep. No, I mean, it's this, we try to guide our clients in the same boat from a overall marketing perspective. It's, you know, hey, what are your goals?
Yeah.
How do you want to communicate those goals? Mm-hmm. But then thinking about it and just understanding that if you don't want to allocate those resources, it may be better to say, let's pause on that.
Yeah.
And think about what are those short-term steps that we can take to hopefully help move the needle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful. And really, this is just like this is not a hit on anybody. This is just a general awareness of like what why, and because we do need to step back and ask for, like, companies need to ask themselves, and they need to pressurize, like, why would we invest more resources and time into the space? And that is a real honest question, right? Like, mm-hmm. most people, obviously, they want to increase awareness, or they want to increase an ROI. They want to keep their revenue up. Like, we all want to be profitable. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But
how, like, and that's where I think it comes back to, like, the brand is like, who are you going to be in the process as a company? Mm-hmm. You can't just start making decisions and throwing out ideas because other people are doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, billboards probably aren't a great move for everybody. Probably a yes. big waste of money, but they're probably a great move for some people. Mm-hmm. And it really just depends. And so social is one of those things that, like, it's almost like the new billboard, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Because to your point, I could be potentially, as a company, talking to not just my customers, but my future employees, mm-hmm. to their families, to anybody outside of that. And that's a big deal, because mm-hmm. you're allowing people to kind of get this inside, intimate look through
social yes.
of who you are.
Mm-hmm. No, and another trend that we're seeing as well is that need for being able to communicate one's organizational culture externally. And so that's why sometimes people are bringing it in-house, yeah. where they have, like, you know, maybe a more junior social media professional or a junior digital marketer, yeah. say, hey, we need you because you've got the unique lens that our partners can't, because they're just not inside your organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we want to be an extension of our clients, or yeah. even internally, right? You want to be an extension of your entire organization. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no department, no team is going to be able to have a majority of an impact when you say, oh, like, our software development team or our operations team is really moving the needle. You know, it's multiple departments hopefully working in sync,
yeah.
To all head in the right direction. But yeah. I do really love that idea of company culture exuding through everything we do. Like, yeah. that to me is what drew me to the Motion agency, is that,
yeah.
you know, when I interviewed, I was like, I really enjoy the people that I'm communicating with, and I'm having a in-depth conversation that excites me. And so I think anytime you're able to communicate that feeling of like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, like, I'm really vibing with this person, or I'm really getting what this organization is all about. Mm-hmm. I think that's so invaluable.
Yeah. As you look at the current market right now, different trends, AI is coming up, people mm-hmm. are, mm-hmm. you know, there are different industries that are like all in on it. There's different industries and people that just like, I couldn't care less about AI specifically. And then just some other market trends, you know, shorts and videos, content consumption, like, those things are becoming more and more popular. Those are just some of the things that I see a lot. I'm curious, what are you currently seeing? Because, you know, aside from Motion, you know, you are a speaker and you're an entrepreneur, and you have your kind of hand in other creative endeavors. You were a former chef, which we like, Mr. Ratatouille himself.
Yes, yes. About that a favorite time. Disney movie, please.
But as far as like what's happening in culture, what's evolving in tech, what's evolving in marketing and social, what are you seeing out there right now that you love and you want to see more of? Mm.
So there's two things that came to mind immediately. AI is one of them, but I'm going to start with the other one first. Okay. And you hit on it. I love that culture is, as you mentioned, like, being influenced by us as individuals, yeah. but we're also being influenced by it at the same time. Oh, and so I think about that,
yeah,
even within our own organization. You know, it's great to be able to see the next generation of professionals
yeah.
come in and just, here's how I work, here's what I bring to the table, here's how I think about things strategically. And so I love the opportunity to be learning from Gen Z like that. Like, it's a unique opportunity. And I think that's another example of like, I go like, oh, that is a smart idea. Like, oh, I'm not even thinking about that. So thank you. And I think that's an example of me learning to approach my work or even just how we interact with each other in a different way. So I'm all for that, and I hope that continues to happen as my professional career grows.
They're gonna have to, because they're gonna need a job in a couple of years. And
yes, 100%. No, it's wild. So I'm very excited. And then I guess to that point, AI. You know, even internally at the Motion Agency, we put together like a think tank to learn about all things AI. You know, how do we use Google Bard, or how do we use ChatGPT to, you know, get new ideas? And what I think about this is a type of technology. I use AI as well. I think it's a great opportunity to learn. But I think also, you know, I work with a colleague of mine who they used it for idea generation for a giveaway. They were basically saying, hey, here's a giveaway I want to do. Give me 10 ideas that would be fun for a giveaway. The way they, the responses they got essentially were, let's say you got 10 responses, 7 were bad, 2 were good, and 1 was like, wow, I can't believe I didn't think about it. And so that's how I kind of view AI, where it is not going to replace a strategist. It's not going to replace a copywriter. It's not going to replace an email marketer or just a content writer in general, but it should be used as a tool that can hopefully make us be a little more efficient and, you know, not drive ourselves crazy.
And there, I think it's one of these things, to be honest, I hated it at first because of the fact that I think people would go in and take the writing and put it in and plug it in. Like the, I wrote this. And I think obviously there's just, there's enough awareness around it now where we can kind of cut right through that, but also enough awareness where people are, to your point, like, no, like that's incorrect. Don't do it that way. Keep the essence of your writing. Keep, and in fact, keep writing, by the way, because it's going to stimulate your brain differently. You're going to think differently. You're not going to constantly be relying on this thing, because what if this thing, you know, breaks down? Not to get apocalyptic on us, but
yes,
like, you know, there's a reality and beauty in that. I think culture's always been influenced by people who think differently, who get in a room. As you were talking earlier, I thought about even like the evolution of music. You know, I did a lot of study on that years and years ago. And there's something about, you know, what is happening in culture that can influence music. Then the music can then influence back to what's happening in culture. You know, we went from like classic to blues to hip hop, and that evolution is wild, but it goes hand in foot with exactly what's happening in culture. And so I think it's just, again, people need to look at it not as like, don't let it be overwhelming. Don't let these new evolutions be overwhelming. Things will change. They're always going to change. But how are you willing to kind of embrace the pieces that are great? And then, you know what? These pieces aren't for me, and that's fine.
Yep.
So I think I like your perspective on it, because I think that is pretty powerful. I could talk all day, Zach, about the brand and marketing, and I will pause here because I have been doing a little bit more in-depth studies of Disney culture, and brand, and marketing. So I want to, before we finish, I do want to talk about this a little bit, because I grew up with Disney. It's very close to my heart, you know, the movies, the culture, and yet I don't think people see the brilliance behind the simplicity of the brand. Walt Disney set off literally to, I don't have the exact wording. I was just reading about this the other day, but give people the opportunity to have an amazing experience, create joy in people's lives. Like that was it. And the simplicity of that turned into things like, at Disney World, they have a handbook called Be Our Guest, which is the most amazing thing in the world. and that handbook in the education to teach those employees is actually more focused on voice, tone, and delivery than it is hard skills. And so I love the influence of Disney, but I'm just curious from you, where have you been influenced by sort of the Disney, and whether that's Disney World, the movies, the culture, and then maybe like what's a lesson you've sort of taken from something like that? Maybe you haven't even realized it. Maybe you're kind of like, oh, like I didn't know this, but that has maybe impacted the work you do today.
Wow. There is a lot there. One, the culture of Disney truly is global.
Yeah.
And iconic for decades.
I mean, it's cultish. It really is.
Yeah, it truly is.
Not in like a bad way, but, mm-hmm. but maybe a bad way. I don't know.
No, it's interesting. I have a friend who, you know, his goal is to visit all the different Disney worlds, Disney parks, essentially. Whoa. All over the globe. So like, he's like, I got to get to Tokyo, not just because I want to go to Tokyo, but because I want to go see Disney in Tokyo.
That's
so,
a heck of an investment. I'll call it.
Yes.
I'll give it to him. That's an investment. Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely an investment. But, you know, I really love the be our guest mentality. Like that is like, yes. I was not familiar with that. And so to me, I think that really resonates. And yes. I think whether you're, you know, I like to say, like, whether you're on the front lines of an organization where you're interacting with your customers or your potential customers on a daily base, or you're in the back just setting up hopefully is a great experience between a yeah. potential customer and the brand. I think there is always a great opportunity to lean into hospitality. And maybe that's my chef background. Maybe that's why I love Ratatouille. But I think that is what really separates any business, any organization, any restaurant.
Yeah.
It is, how do you make people feel when they're interacting with your organization?
Wow.
And I think if that's a positive experience, they're going to remember it. That's the same reason why, you know, Disney World is Disney World. People truly have a great experience. And, you know, there are countless stories of how Disney or the folks at the parks bring magic to life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is just those interactions that they have with park guests yeah. or hotel guests.
Right. I'll send you this article later, but I was
Please.
Fascinated by this article where they talked about influencing in the mundane, creating an experience for a customer in the mundane. And you think about a park experience, for instance, the biggest issue people have with these kind of parks is standing in line for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney's historic for that, but like no one cares because yep. they have there's an amazing experience created for each individual throughout mm-hmm. the process. Like I have rarely heard someone poop on the Disney World experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it cost them thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's how you know.
They spent tens, maybe they didn't spend hundreds. They spent, we'll go hundreds of minutes, mm-hmm. thousands of minutes waiting around, and yet they had a good experience. And so I think to that point, there it is as organizations, if we step back and like learn what we learned from this, yeah, be excellent in the mundane
mm-hmm.
and deliver faithfully on your promise as a company. Mm-hmm. What is your promise and how are you delivering on that? And I think it's really important. Zach, I think this is conversation one of maybe a handful
I hope so.
More conversations we could have on a handful of different topics. We're going to start doing a little bit more like culturally topical conversations here on the podcast and maybe some LinkedIn lives. But for you, in your world, where can people tune into, I mean, you're writing, you're speaking, you're doing a lot of stuff. You're always kind of pushing the gamut. You're a humble learner. I love how humble you are about your learnings.
Thank you.
But I love that you share them. And where can people kind of follow along, get connected with you moving forward?
Yeah, well, Luke, thank you again for having me on. This has been an absolute blast. And yeah. Yes, would love to chat more. But, you know, you can find me mostly across the internet. My website is www.walkerzach.com, Z-A-C-H. And then I'm on most social media platforms and you can find me all through my website and you can see more about my writing on culture, on branding, on social media, obviously. But yeah, I love to engage with others. I love to learn from others. So this is why I was super excited to be on here to learn from you. Mm. So yeah, please reach out.
Grateful and honored. Final question. In the debate of pizza, what's your Chicago deep dish go-to?
Wow. This is going to get me in trouble.
So sorry. I'm so sorry to bring it up, but we have
to. No, it's good. I'm going to shout out Bartoli's Pizza.
Bartoli's guy.
Yes, okay. Bartoli's guy, yes. It's close by. It's delicious. He is the son of one of the other big yeah. Chicago deep dish pizza. So I'm sure he's got a little spin on his family recipe, but
love it.
I love it. I love all pizza. Give me New York style. Give me Detroit style. I'm up for it.
Amen. Amen. Zach Walker, Creative VP of Social at Motion, entrepreneur. Thank you so much for your time today, my friend.
Thank you, Luke. The pleasure was mine.